At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
It's up.
How fun was that? 76-0. Ole Miss opens the 2024-25 season. All its expectations with an absolute bang. Yeah, it was Furman, an FCS opponent. But that's a 10-game winner last year, and Ole Miss beat them by a video game score. 76-0. Welcome back in to Talk of Champions, an all-new edition of Talk of Champions, as always, powered by Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs. Text or call Riverland Roofing today, 662-644-4297. That's 662-644-4297. You can visit them online at riverlandroofing.com. Here on Talk of Champions today, we're mailbagging. And what that means is your Ole Miss questions from the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and affiliate of On 3 are answered here and now. And the Ole Miss Spirit On 3 is always talking about your Rebels all day, every day at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com. Head over there today, sign up for a subscription, and come ask your questions and hang out with us. Me, Chuck, Jake, Zach Berry, the recruiting guy. He's going to have his shows coming up this week. Ole Miss football's title chasing this year, folks. Like, legitimately title chasing. The first title chase since the 60s. The 76-0 annihilation. Yeah, I said annihilation of Furman on Saturday. That was just a flash of how good this team could be. So let's open the mailbag. Reb Jam asks, tell me we shouldn't be worried that Florida will go after Lane Kiffin. Now this, in full disclosure, was a question a little bit down the list, but I thought, let me go ahead and get it out in front early. I knew this would be a question. I'm glad it was a question. Of course, Florida will pursue Lane Kiffin if and when it moves on from Billy Napier in the offseason. But Lane Kiffin will only go there if Florida is willing to up his already top 10 coaching salary in college football. If they're willing to go not to top 7, 6, 5, top 3, because Ole Miss is willing to match pretty much anything. So unless they're willing to spend Nick Saban money on Lane Kiffin, it's a lot harder than Florida fans are trying to make it out to be, that Ole Miss fans are being worried about it being. Ole Miss has an NIL operation that's top 6 nationally according to On3. Ole Miss has been forward-looking and forward-acting and forward-moving in the NIL space above most every other contemporary in the sport for years now. And that is why Ole Miss is where it is, contending for a title while Florida is flailing away in Gainesville. Not to say that Florida isn't Florida. Of course it's Florida. But that's a long way of me saying this isn't Tommy Tuberville leaving Ole Miss for Auburn like a thief in the night. Ole Miss is a better program today than Florida is. And I know Gator fans are going to be in the YouTube comments saying, what, a homer? Okay, call me a homer. Say I'm wrong. But then look at the numbers objectively. And yes, Lane Kiffin vacations and still spends most of his non-football time in the state of Florida. But he also has a daughter who's about to be a second-year Ole Miss sophomore, a quarterback of a son soon to be enrolled at Oxford High School. and an escalating top 10 coaching contract salary with full program autonomy. Would he get that at Florida? Maybe. Maybe, Florida, that you would be willing to give all of that over to one person. Ole Miss was, because Ole Miss was, and it'll tell you, quite desperate. Lane Kiffin's the reason why Ole Miss got its ass in gear. And if you're going to come and try to steal that, well, you won't be the first. And history says it's probably not going to work out for you, because Ole Miss is not a stranger to this discussion. This is something it deals with every offseason. And yet, as we saw with Deion Smith, the movies we've seen before, we know how this has ended so far in 5 years. No one expected Lane Kiffin to be here 5 years. In every offseason, Lane Kiffin is the first name listed on coaching candidates for other, quote, bigger jobs. And yet I look around, Texas A&M's a bigger job, right? But Ole Miss is operating in a more efficient and high-level manner than Texas A&M right now. And why is that? Lane Kiffin, absolutely, but organizationally, they have given it all over to Lane Kiffin and supported him in a way that has ensured that if anybody tries to come and get him, it's going to be really hard, at least, if not damn near impossible. Better jobs have come open over the last 4+ years than Florida, and they've all pursued Lane Kiffin in some way. Let's just list some off. LSU, Auburn. Auburn was messy. USC. I know the USC fired him on the tarmac, but still, that was his dream job, and it came open again, and they were in a desperate place. Lincoln Riley was a surprise to us all, but guess what? Lane Kiffin was mentioned again. It's like, well, that'd be a neat little story. Miami. That was the one from when he arrived at Ole Miss. If Miami opens, watch out. And it did come open. Now, do I think had Miami gone off of Mario Cristobal, it had gotten more serious with Lane Kiffin? Sure. I'm just saying that he's still here. He's still here. And this is not the Ole Miss of the old days, the Ole Miss of the 90s. Oh, gosh, Tommy Tuberville wants better facilities, and if Ole Miss doesn't get it to him, give them to him, he's going to be leaving for Auburn or Clemson tomorrow. Now, if he wins his first title, which would be the first for Ole Miss since the 60s, an NFL team, I could see an NFL team coming calling. But and the reason why I say that is because that's the only black mark still left on his resume. A remarkable, unique coaching resume that is tells a story of redemption and rediscovery. So, Florida, I know you want what Ole Miss has, but there's a reason Ole Miss has what it has and has kept what it has. Oxford 1952 asks, who is supposed to cover the wheel route that Furman did about 3 to 4 times? Only play they did that got yards on our defense. Noted that Georgia ran that play several times versus Clemson. Look, I'm no football coach, and I do not pretend to be. I love it. I've been obsessed with it since I can remember. But I don't want you to take what I say as far as schematics as gospel, because I am just your typical everyday idiot. But I'm pretty sure one of the two linebackers is supposed to take that wheel you're talking about. But I'm not sure. It could, though. When I was reading this question and figuring out how I was going to answer it, T.J. Dottery started, and he was my breakout pick for defensive breakout player of the year for Ole Miss, and I still hold to that. He even got the in-helmet communication that shows you how much Ole Miss loves T.J. Dottery and thinks so highly of him. He's the one that had the communication instrument in his helmet. But he gave way to others and only finished with one tackle while Chris Poupaul comes off the bench and leads Ole Miss in tackles. Maybe we figured out why with this. Maybe. The wheel route, I don't know. Again, I'm not a football expert. Maybe that has nothing to do with it. I'm going to go with the latter, but to answer your question, I think typically in a peak Golding 14-5 defense, that particular route is supposed to be carried by the linebacker. Reb Bo 4 asks, what are Joe Judge and Zach Arnett's official roles? Press box, on the field, just how are they using those guys? They're officially analysts. That's the official title. Judge on offense and Zach Arnett on defense. But Joe Judge, as he did in the NFL for years, assists John Garrison, Joe Cox, the Ole Miss offensive front. John Garrison's the offensive line coach, Joe Cox with tight ends. Judge was the one who actually recommended that Ole Miss starts, Southern Miss transfer Jarquan Scott at center. So, yeah, they're actively involved. Arnett, he helps out with the defensive backs, as was his custom before he became the head coach of Mississippi State, or even defensive coordinator at State. That's his background, is in coaching defensive backs. And then he's in the press box. I know he is. I don't know necessarily where Judge is on game day. I'll try to find that out. But, yeah, Zach Arnett's right there by Pete Golding, which I think is just great, in the press box during games. CB Tillman 1 asks, can you give an update on the offensive line guys who were out? When are they expected back? And to the question from Reb DB04, amend it to include Chris Kiffin as well. Well, Caleb Warren is further away from returning than Jarquan Scott, I would say. I think Jarquan Scott probably would have played against Furman had it not been Furman, a more formidable opponent than a Furman. So I'm not really concerned about him. Caleb might be a little bit further away. But Lane Kiffin doesn't have to release injury reports yet. That's a couple of weeks away. And we won't find out for sure, I think, until conference play to see everybody, who all is really back or who they're being cautious or have been cautious with, both in preseason camp and these first early four games against lesser opponents. But Chris Kiffin will be the brother of Lane, brought on, hired, as reported on the Ole Miss Spirit, OMSpirit.com, an affiliate of On3. Sign up today. He will be assisting as an analyst with the defensive line, which is his background as well. And remember, Chris was a candidate to replace Chris Partridge. Actually, was hired briefly to replace Chris Partridge as Ole Miss defensive coordinator. The quality of this staff is insane. Insane. Like in any other era, Joe Judge alone would have been a big hire as an offensive coordinator, let alone an analyst at Ole Miss. Zach Arnett as a defensive coordinator, not as an analyst. And he joins Pete Golding and Brian Brown. Brian Brown, of which has been an Ole Miss defensive coordinator target seemingly every time Ole Miss has had a defensive coordinator opening. And now he's here helping Pete Golding. They're assisting each other as co-defensive coordinators. What an incredible staff. The best staff. And that again, like with the personnel and just like with how Lane's operating, this is the best it's ever been. Treat it that way. All right, Johnny Rebel asks, when do we get Scott and Watkins back? By the end of the month. I think Scott before Watkins, that'd be my guess. Ole Miss Hunter 970 asks three questions. Number one, is Bentley actually 100%? He didn't seem like it against Furman. Two, after week one, what are your thoughts on the games against Oklahoma and Georgia? And number three, many SEC teams won in blowout fashion on Saturday, yet Ole Miss seems to be catching the most flack for who they played. Why do you think that is? Bentley was limited all August camp. He's been working his way back after myriad injuries. The most recent was turf toe. In the spring, he had surgery on that turf toe. But he's been out of that boot for a long time. He was working off to the side most August practices on the stationary bike. He could be one of those just being cautious, limited with kind of guys. But this is, again, where I tell you, Lane Kiffin does not release injury reports. He doesn't talk about them publicly. The SEC and NCAA will start mandating that Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, and the rest of its schools start releasing injury reports starting as early as a couple of weeks from now. But the point is, we just don't know for sure. Lane doesn't speak on them. But as we've talked about here on Talk of Champions, in the weeks leading up to the season, look, Ulysses Bentley has been a durability concern ever since he arrived from SMU. He's missed time with injuries. So I'm skeptical that they're just being cautious. I'm skeptical that he'll be hitting the ground running come SEC play. Maybe Ole Miss is just being cautious. That would be a relief. And I'm going to go with that for now because Lane doesn't talk about this. But that is a concern. Number two, Ole Miss is the second best team in the SEC. I feel confident. After watching the slate of games in week one, only behind Georgia, Alabama looked really good. LSU, I told y'all I was not a believer in LSU. I'm not a believer in Nuss. He looked good, though. Nuss wasn't the problem. Brian Kelly, another day. And then number three, come on, man, you know why. We all know the answer as to why Ole Miss is catching the most flack of all the, quote, contenders in college football in 2024-25. If the script was LSU instead of Ole Miss and the colors purple and gold instead of red and blue, would the team that you saw on Saturday currently be ranked in the top three? Maybe even number one overall, because we all like new. Georgia's the best team in the country. But we all get a little excited, especially in the early goings, of a new contender. LSU had been sleeping dormant. You know, if that was Brian Kelly's team that went out and did that, oh boy. It's because it's Ole Miss. It's Ole Miss. And look, I don't care what anyone says. Yes, Furman was an FCS opponent, but those Paladins won 10 games last year. And that's a team I've seen Ole Miss struggle with before. I was there when there was nobody left involved at Hemingway Stadium as Ole Miss clung to a win over Northwestern State under Ed Orgeron. I was there. I was there when Tig Barksdale went across for a two-point conversion and Jacksonville State beat Ole Miss to derail a season in game one. I was there. So understanding that, you then still have to, as the skeptical of all skeptics, most skeptical of all skeptics, have to acknowledge that Ole Miss just beat a 10-win FCS team as thoroughly as a contender can possibly beat such a team. 76-0 is a video game score. That's what we said it to All-American. We faced off against one of those teams with the Gator or the Snake. It's just FCS East. And wins 76-0. And Jackson Dart plays two quarters, scores six touchdowns, 22 of 27 from the throwing, over 400 yards, 418, I think. Why else? Ole Miss only moves in either direction from its preseason ranking to number five or number six if the ranker is still thinking that it's little old Ole Miss. Just little Ole Miss. NCRBLFN asks, what's the story with Walker Howard? I thought he would have been QB too, not taking anything away from Austin Simmons. He can throw. Will Walker play this weekend, or do we have another Luke Altmyer? Okay. I was surprised too, but let's slow down. Luke Altmyer, slow down. Luke, first of all, was a former four-star, as Walker Howard was. But why does it have to be that? It could be instead that Austin Simmons is a little bit better. And this is where I got to acknowledge, I completely whiffed on this. We only get limited periods. I acknowledge that too. I can add as many qualifiers as possible to get y'all to understand that I'm just telling you what I know to be true best I can. That's the only thing I promised you. I'm just going to be honest. I thought Walker Howard was QB2, but then Austin Simmons got the total run against Furman. Now, I think Walker Howard, there might be some injury, something or other, but I don't think that's it at all. I want it to be clear. Austin Simmons was the QB2. He is QB2, far as we know. Lane Kiffin said as much. That's just something I whiffed on. Because out there practices, now I said that Austin Simmons looked like Tua Tagovailoa. However, I thought he was still would get the second run after Walker Howard behind Jackson Dart, and I was wrong. He came in to Austin Simmons and looked every bit like that mini Tua too, didn't he? And see, I know weeks ago people were saying that's pretty lofty. That's kind of Kool-Aid-y, Ben, you homer. What did you see? The 13, the first pass, a beautiful, floated Caden Lee. Just, I don't think there's any story other than Austin Simmons is good too. And that's going to be a hell of a competition once Jackson Dart steps away as one of the greatest to ever play here. This could be simply a scenario where Austin Simmons got that nod for his preseason work, but the plan was for both to get extended run early in games, just like with Jackson Dart and Luke Altmyer. When Jackson got his game, then Luke got his game. So that means that if Austin Simmons got two quarters against Furman, that if they do what they're supposed to do against Middle Tennessee State, then Jackson Dart will give way to Walker Howard for those two quarters. But that's assuming, of course, that Ole Miss takes care of business. The Blue Raiders did just survive week one against Tennessee Tech. So let's stop doing that. Got to respect all opponents. You respect them, of course, but Ole Miss should beat the piss out of this team, and Walker Howard should be quarterbacking in the second half if that is the plan, to rotate them, get them both equal run because they're equally good. Or is Austin Simmons just straight up QB2? And if he is, I'm feeling better and better about that mini Tua prediction. I'm just saying.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature. You need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Cali. With CSpire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at CSpire. Customer inspired.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Rebel Like You Mean It asks, why on earth is that basketball goal on a football sideline? So Ole Miss can dunk on its opponent's son? Murph asks, if when Jarquan Scott and Caleb Warren return on the offensive line, what will the lineup be in your mind? I say from left to right, Jaden Williams or Diego Pounds. Jaden Williams got the start against Furman, but that one's going to be fun to watch all year, just back and forth seesaw. Nate Kolupo or Caleb Warren or Jeremy James at left guard. I think that is still very much unsettled. That's where the only unsettledness really is, because all of those guys are starter worthy, but you only got five, and the others got to rotate in. Jarquan Scott at center, Julius Buelo or Jeremy James at right guard, but Julius Buelo has been great since Jump Street. Micah Pettis or Jeremy James. I take that back. Julius Buelo is at left guard and Nate Kolupo at right guard. I had that backwards. Or Jeremy James, because Nate Kolupo is the huge monster. It's at like set number 71, 6'8", huge. Been incredible since he got here. Scott P21 asks, if the defense were the Avengers, which player would be which Avenger? See, this is the kind of question I was made for. Captain America is J.J. Pegues. Princely Umanmielen is Thor. Jared Ivey is Iron Man. Trey Amos fits Hawkeye perfectly. The reasons are too nerdy to explain. So if you want me to explain on another podcast, ask me again. But Trey Amos is Hawkeye. Rebel 6 asks, is there a better sushi spot in Tupelo than Mount Fuji? Not for my money, no. No. Because that's one of our Sunday after church go-tos. We love Mount Fuji. They go for the hibachi, but me, I'm going to tear up a ninja roll. Now, if you're just looking for passable sushi, you're in a hurry, the mango roll at Rock and Roll Sushi, it can work for you. It can work for you. Mississippi Reb 1848 asks, was Chris Poupall really beaten out as a starter? And where does Raymond Collins fall in the depth chart? I wouldn't read much of anything into who started against Furman. And Chris Poupall was one of those who was restricted some in the preseason due to injury. And that could be all that it was. But Raymond Collins, for those unaware, former four-star recruit JUCO last recruiting cycle. He's third team or around there at best right now, but he's just getting adjusted. The talent's there. You can see it. It's real. It's exciting. He's just got to put it all together in a crowded room, which is still surreal to say about the Ole Miss linebackers. Rebel Bagman asks, I'm engaged to a Mississippi State Bulldog. I know, hard to believe, but she's an Ole Miss 10. Oh, boy. Any advice for a divided house during the Egg Bowl? Dry spell for a week, and then whoever wins, whoever's team wins the game, they set the terms. You're welcome. Rebel 11 asks, when is Bradley Sow going to be a guest back on the pod? I looked forward to you two every week last season. Got me drinking all the Kool-Aid. Conversations are happening. Kool-Aid was nearly poured after Furman. Now close. And I'm hoping, working on not serving it up alone after Middle Tennessee. But here's where I need y'all's help. Because Bradley Sow is a sucker for peer pressure. Now, he's not on social media, best I know. Certainly not on Twitter. But he's on the Ole Miss Spirit message board. omspirit.com, food of on three. Tell him how much you want to have him back on the pod. Kane Liffin asks, did the run game concern you at all? Yeah, absolutely. But I was concerned off campus. I talked about it here on Talk of Champions. I trust Ulysses Bentley, Henry Parrish, so long that they're operating at full capacity, fully healthy. But I don't know who the third running back is. No, yes, I do. Yes, I do. It's Matt Jones. And it's not particularly close, I don't think, right now. I did see some encouraging signs from Dominique Smith, the transfer from Georgia State. And that's one thing someone asked me on the Ole Miss Spirit message board going into Furman is, what are you really looking for? Signs is what I said. Signs at all. Exciting, encouraging signs from running backs not named Ulysses Bentley and Henry Parrish. Well, Matt Jones was encouraging. Lane Sane Clown Posse asks, which Ole Miss defensive line would you rank higher, 2008-09, 14-15, or 24? This is the best collection of next-level talent ever assembled for an Ole Miss defensive line. They have at least three top three-round NFL draft picks. And I could also make an argument for guys like Chris Hardy. He was all-conference at Jacksonville State, and he was great off the bench against Furman. An absolute disruptor. He would be, at worst right now, a late-round flyer if the draft was tomorrow, like an Isaac Ukwu. But second is 08-09. And that's even after that 09 Egg Bowl, which will forever and always, for me, ask Kentrell Lockett, be unforgivable. Speaking of Kentrell Lockett, it's time for another 40-yard dash. I got to get him back. Since I've been reminded again by that 09 Egg Bowl. But that's number two. Forward Rebel asks, is anything short of 11-1 a disappointment? 10-2 Ole Miss makes the playoffs. Missing the playoffs is the disappointment. The record is immaterial to me. Just make the playoffs. For better or worse, expanding the field to 12 teams, at least somewhat de-emphasized, if you're in one of the big conferences like Ole Miss and the SEC, the greatest conference in college football. Expanding that field de-emphasized the significance of the regular season. It rendered the championship, those conference championship games, almost meaningless. So, no, I they go 10-2. You shouldn't be disappointed. I mean, they have a better chance, in my opinion, going 10-2 than 11-1. You know, 9-3. Now you're starting to get into disappointing record territory. But make the playoffs, be in the fight. Anything short of that is for sure a disappointment. Reb Guy 22 asks, if you knew you could 100% get away with it, would you be willing to be the Connor Stallions for Ole Miss? Piggybacking off of that, if you knew Ole Miss would go 2-10 the next 3 years after, would you trade a national title this season? You always take the title, full stop. You always take the title. Take the title. Now, would I be the Ole Miss Connor Stallions? To quote John Wick, I will serve. I will be of service. Silence KC asks, what happened to Bryson Sanders as the heir apparent at center? I don't think that's changed necessarily. It's just Ole Miss doesn't have to live with the warts of a first-time starter, especially with a group that has over 16,000 collective snaps of experience to work with. Beggars can't be choosers. But title contenders can be. Poopy Dukes asks, biggest surprise for you this past Saturday? For me, it was Dart's obvious improvement on deep ball accuracy, which to me was the biggest dimension missing from his game. You took the words right out of my mouth. He had two darts to Juice Wells and then Trey Harris, 60-yard darts, both in stride, and Wells, that connection was just... is college football porn. Anything you're looking forward to seeing most this Saturday is Ole Miss faces a more skilled quarterback and experienced coaching staff. Yeah, I want to see an asserted Ole Miss running game. Maybe Matt Jones is this Ole Miss team's version of 2003 Tremaine Turner. Yeah, like that one? I floated that one recently on a Talk of Champions, and I think I'm actually starting to believe it. Saturday was fun if you were a part of the Matt Jones stands. Matt Jones stands, stand up. Brandon Mississippi asks, will they be able to clean up the linebacker play in time for SEC play? They've got three more non-conference games to do it. And also, this is a staff responsible for the first true title contender since the 60s, so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, they've earned that trust. Ole Miss has never had this kind of linebacker depth, so I'll take maybe a little uninspiring, but Chris Poupaul looked incredible. Matt Smith asks, could Bradley Sal's brother come on a podcast as a guest? I kid. Are you sipping the Kool-Aid already like me? Sipping? I have already consumed my fill. Saturday just validated my preseason over-service. GHS1 asks, Brandon Turnage injury. He's been injured ever since he got here. He transferred in the offseason from Tennessee and also Alabama. But he played against Furman. And I figure he's just going to be one of those every-week guys to monitor. Like a Ulysses Bentley. The durability guys to monitor. At least that's what I'm going with. I expect him to play against Middle Tennessee State. Jim at the Res asks, why in the heck would Ole Miss Athletics Director Keith Carter extend Jamie Traxel's contract, the Ole Miss softball coach? Ole Miss is just trying to keep those Title IX sports afloat. That means solvency. Enjoy your football title. DGE62 asks, why would Ole Miss highlight a comedian for the Are You Ready? Look, man, the Ole Miss marketing team stopped taking my calls a long, long time ago, if they ever even did. And finally, Special K asks, why do Ole Miss fans cheer for non-SEC college football playoff contenders to win over SEC teams? I'm not a fan of Texas A&M, but them losing to Notre Dame basically handed a college football spot to Notre Dame. So we're down to 10 college football spots for the Power 5 conferences. And given Ole Miss's strength of schedule, that's an issue. Similarly, LSU losing against USC will make the Ole Miss game count less if Ole Miss wins and hurt Ole Miss more if LSU wins. Nevertheless, most people love to see A&M and LSU lose. Shake my head. Because some of us, my friend Special K, and it includes me, yours truly, we still are clinging a little bit to the old school traditional stuff that made college football what we fell in love with in the first place. That doesn't really exist anymore. Ole Miss winning a title, getting in the playoffs, making sure it has as many opportunities to get that thing to get to the final, get to the end of the race. That's always been the end goal and always will be the end goal. But at least for me, what made college football what it was for 25 years of my life was it was our guys against their guys. It's the community. And cheering for their guys to lose is one of the most fun and delightful, joyful parts of it. You're not relishing necessarily someone's misery so much as going to church on Sunday after the Egg Bowl and they've got bragging rights for a year. Now you don't even have bragging rights for an hour and a half. Cheering for your rival to lose is like one of the last traditional college football things you got. I get it, is all I'm saying. You're right. It does rob Ole Miss of opportunities. But even if I'm riding solo on that Titanic, the last member of the band playing, I will root for every SEC team that isn't Ole Miss to lose just because it's fun. Because I grew up doing that. But also I recognize that that is a dying thing in the sport. But that's why they do it. F-E-B-U. If you don't know what it means, what it stands for, look it up. That'll do it for another edition of Talk of Champions. As always, powered by Riverland Roofing and the Ole Miss Spirit. For all your roofing needs, text or call Riverland Roofing today. 662-644-4297. That's 662-644-4297. You can visit them online at riverlandroofing.com. The Ole Miss Spirit On 3 is talking all about your Rebels all day, every day over at omspirit.com. That's Field of On 3. Sign up today for a subscription. Come ask your questions, your Ole Miss questions. Come hang out with us. Me, Chuck, Zach, Jake, and some Ole Miss football notes to take us out. Ole Miss scored its most first half points, 52, since the 60s in a single game when they did it against Furman. The 76 for the game were the most of the Kiffin era and most in a single game since 1935. And those 772 yards of total offense, now the second highest ever by any one group of Rebels. And three Ole Miss Rebels made Pro Football Focus's Team of the Week in college football. Jackson Dart, Trey Harris, and Trey Amos, our Hawkeye. Dart became the first SEC quarterback since Joe Burrow in 2019 with at least 350 passing yards in the first half. He was also the highest graded quarterback in week one with a grade of 95.7 from Pro Football Focus. Purdue's Hudson Card, USC's Miller Moss, Mississippi State's Blake Shapen, and Maryland's Billy Edwards Jr. in that order rounded out the top five. Amos, the transfer corner from Alabama, who, if you want me to do a podcast on why he's Hawkeye, I will, gave up negative 4 yards receiving to go along with an interception and three pass breakups against Furman. That was good for a 0.0 quarterback pass rating. 92.8 coverage grade. We'll see you back here in the Riverland Roofing Studios on Thursday for another edition of Talk of Champions, a post-game show of some sort, coming after Middle Tennessee State. Until then, be good to each other. God bless.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.